From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad. I feel I'm going to be bullied. There's going to be trouble ahead. This is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Absolutely, well, yes, something like that. I don't know. I'm completely conflummoxed this week. In the studio, we have none other than Caroline Wiltshire.
Hello.
This is dangerous. There are two on the air. Yes. This is Postcard from Pop Bread, from the glorious sunny area of Slovakia, where I went on top of a mountain yesterday. I must be stark raving mad. Stark raving gaga. Anyway, over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than Lee G. Banks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and Caroline.
Thank you.
That sounded wrong, didn't it?
It did, rather.
I'm so sorry, Caroline. Yes. I apologise for not classing you as any kind of human being. Yes. I've known your dad for years.
It's all right, I'm an angel, so...
It's just Inuism.
Did you hear that?
I didn't hear anything, no what.
She just said, that's okay, I'm an angel.
That's so true, too.
Is that right? Down in not in Queensland anymore, because she's moved away to the troublesome city of the planet. It is Darwin-based. Rachel!
How you doing, Caroline? I'm so happy. I'm so happy I nearly had a little accident. There's a double X chromosome this week, so look out, fellas. Look out. Be on your game. That's all I'm saying.
So anyway, you can see where this is going this week, boys and girls. Disastrous from the beginning. And we are hoping to actually talk to our friend who's not there at the moment, so I can't talk to him, Ricky. But never mind. We've got a load. Actually, I will tell you, we've had an ongoing saga with Ricky Sharma, whose sister was not well treated in a hospital in Essex. We have been contacted by several other patients who have also suffered badly.
A bit scary, isn't it?
It's very scary indeed, it has to be said. But there you go. You know, we shall just carry on regardless, as they say.
Just before we do, on that, there's been something happening in my patch along similar lines. And I think the hospital that Ricky's referring to should take a look at it. The Stafford Hospital has actually had its status taken off it.
Mm. And I can see it being the same. Yep. Absolutely, mate.
If it's not careful.
Very much indeed, so we'll get them. But before all that, we'll start off with a couple of stories from Lee to begin the programme with. And we've also got to tell you, Harry's here.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, isn't that nice?
We're full today.
Yeah, we got
standing room only.
We've basically got a posse in the studio this week, whatever. some stories to start off this week with Uncle Lee. 4-year-old Daniel Pelka was life was cut so terribly short after his mum and stepfather, they were accused, being sentenced at the moment probably to life, for starving the poor kid to death. That's all been over the news here in Slovakia and, of course, in Poland. And I have to say, I think there was a bit of PR going on at certain points on this as well, which I didn't like. But it's a tragedy when you think you've got somebody like that, a tiny little kid who got into trouble in school for stealing food because he was so goddamn hungry. That's wrong. Mm. That's wrong, isn't it?
It's absolutely. Yeah. It is really shameful. And what's more shameful about it is the fact that nobody seemed to pick up on the dire circumstances that this child was living in. Social workers, the teachers, even the police had been involved in his short life. At some time over the last 12 months, they'd been involved in his life. And nobody picked up on the things that were happening to him. When this child finally died, do you know he only weighed one stone?
Yeah, but what's that in modern money, Lee?
I really honestly don't know, but it's
16 pounds is about £14, is it?
£14, so it's like...
2.2 kilos.
So it's about...
2.2 kilos to a pound.
It's about 6 kilos.
It's well, yeah. It's like 6 bags of sugar, and this is a 4-year-old boy who's attending school.
Yeah,
and he's attending school, and the teachers didn't pick up on it. The teachers, when he was found at that size, stealing food, surely somebody somewhere should have thought, now this ain't right. Let's have a look into this.
Mm.
They didn't, and the cruelty actually continued. There were some horrific. Shots of CCTV shots of the child being picked up from school by his mother, and his brother was looked after and cosseted, and this child was left to straggle behind. And what's really scary about this is, like RTI has done stories in the past and been quite heavily involved in various ways, in the way Slovak children have been treated in the UK by social services, and how, in fact, what's been described as the kidnapping of children by social services in the UK.
Yeah,
and we actually were. Part of an effort to reunite two children with their family in Slovakia,
yeah.
For this to have happened again yet again is just horrific, and somebody really needs to take a good hard look at the social services properly. This kind of thing actually goes back into the 1980s when social services actually started to take children off families because they feared that the whole of the Northwest was involved in the satanic ritual attack on children.
This is where it's gone wrong. It's gone from one extreme where every kid was taken into care.
Yeah.
And now teachers, social workers, anybody on the good side is now so scared of their own shadows that they won't take the kids in. So it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
The falling through the cracks business is the cracks getting wider and wider and wider. And the thing that makes my stomach churn in particular about this story and stories like it, because sadly there are many like it, is that the things they put you through in any country in order to possess a driver's license, the things they put you through to get a driver's license, yet any moron can breed and have a child.
Mm.
And that makes me sick to my stomach. It truly does.
I think it would be a terrible world if you actually had to apply to have a child, though, and you were vetted before you did.
Yeah,
I think it's an alienable right to have
children. Oh, sure, but I mean, the comparison, it's just, it makes me so unwell.
Yeah, well, hang on a minute. Let's just go to somewhere. We've got a piece of, we've got a large connection here, because Caroline works in a youth group. In South London, and without mentioning names, do you ever get kids come to your youth group that are a bit hungry?
Yeah, we actually have a thing now where if we know that a kid is in care or in a really deprived area, like we've got some council estates and we have some projects rehabilitating kids into society properly in my area, and we actually will give them food if they're hungry and they need it. And also we have a project alongside the youth club. And it's actually a food bank, so we will give them food that they need for the whole family, not just for the young person in need. Mm-hmm. And that's in London, so...
There's no excuse, really, if you got it there.
Exactly.
You can do a shameless plug for your group. What's it called?
Baseline.
we've been involved with Baseline, and it is a very, very good group too, and the work it carries out is excellent, isn't it?
Yeah, we agree on that one.
Just to go very briefly back on this story.
Got it.
Though it's not a matter of falling through the cracks, and it's not a matter of the cracks are getting wider. What it is, actually, in the UK specifically, it is that the cracks are getting narrower, and the intensity of the way that social services and social workers are looking at children is partly scary. In this particular case, it went the other way. They ignored them. But generally, the reason we've been involved in the past with Slovak children is because of the ludicrous things that have been happening to children. You know, things that are to do with culture, different cultures, and people are having the children taken off them because they have a different culture to the people in Britain, yeah. And that is absolutely petrifying.
Oh, well, I couldn't agree with you more. And let's move on, boys and girls. Okay, the Sun is now starting to charge for its online service. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Well, why did you put it on the list, then?
Because you sent it over on your list.
But it's an important story.
What, your phone?
My telephone?
That's your phone ringing, Lee, isn't it? Lee, it's your phone ringing.
No, I'm professional. I can't live
it's
under
just, it's I know. To ask me if I'll take a subscription out on the Sun. Yeah, no, I think it's a really good thing that the Sun... Why should the Sun give its news away for free?
No, I don't disagree with that. Let's do the... Because I know Rachel buys a newspaper. Caroline, do you ever buy a newspaper?
No, not really.
Would you ever bother about it?
No, not really.
Where do you get your news from?
Internet or okay. News on the telly, really.
Okay. Modern person, you see.
Yeah, well, it isn't really, is it? It's nothing to do with that. It's just a totally different attitude towards news. And young people are actually missing out by not buying newspapers, because the whole concept of news in newspapers is different than the internet and on television. If you just want snippets of news, you see, a newspaper's made up of various aspects which don't really happen on radio, television, or certainly on the internet. And one of the main reasons for a newspaper to exist is entertainment. And news is presented in an entertaining way. And just look at the figures here. The Sun has a circulation of 2.3 million in print, which I know you hate this, Eric, but this is the truth. That means that there are more than 7 million people a day reading that newspaper.
Yeah, rubbish.
But it isn't. It's true.
They could be wrapping things in it, or lining bird cages, or wrapping their chippies in it, or God knows what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
Look, I don't understand. Please, no, hold on. Please explain to the listeners how sales of 2.3 million newspapers equals 7 million readers, because I'm damned if I can work that one out.
Ladies and gentlemen,
they leave it on the tube.
Just laid into my hands on this. The man's an idiot.
They leave it on the tube when they're finished reading it, and then the next person grabs it, you know. So that's
how it works is exactly the same way as Radar does figures on for radio programmes.
Yeah, and they're rubbish as well.
Yeah, that's all made up. We know that.
We know that's rubbish.
Basically, what it is, and this is industry standard and has been for like 100 years, is... that for every newspaper bought, there are, like Rachel said, but not quite the way she said it, that there are three readers to every newspaper. That's because you give it to your wife, the wife gives it to the son or whatever. You know, and that's how it works out. So that's the way circulation's worked out. Simple as that.
Household.
So basically, the formula was worked out wearing a pair of Wellington boots.
Well, you know what I find interesting about this? I think this makes a lot of sense because you know, poor old Rupert, you know.
Yeah, bless.
We know he's struggling.
Bless.
And he's got a very big divorce coming up, you know, Wendy the pie taker, you know, she's going to take him for whatever.
Mm.
So, you know, he really needs to raise some cash pretty quickly because he's pretty hard done by, and he's also getting very old, so he has a lot of grandchildren and children he's got to leave all his money to. So, you know, good old Rupert.
Oh, so we agree then it should be 7 million just for Rupert.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right then. Okay, we can do that.
Yeah. So while we're talking about Rupert,
yes,
I noticed that this story's vanished off the list.
Yes.
That when his newspaper, the News of the World, was forced to fall on its own sword, because of phone hacking, and lots and lots of his reporters were threatened with court action, which generally were dropped against them, including against my mate Neil Wallace. Yeah. That it has now been proven that so many commercial companies in the UK have been using exactly the same methods as Rupert Murdoch's newspaper did, and using exactly the same private investigators to hack phones for purely commercial reasons, not for finding out behind the scenes news and what's going on in the world, purely for commercial purposes. Mm-hmm. This phone hacking thing was not just journalists. This was the commercial world. Yeah. How disgusting!
Of course, they're going to make an example. They're going to make an example out of the biggest fish they can find, aren't they?
Of course.
I don't think that some of the companies that have been named were smaller even than Rupert Murdoch. These were some of the biggest companies in the world. These were insurance companies.
But these were all sorts of
major solicitors.
Uncle Lee, we agree with you.
Yeah.
We agree with you.
You know, hold the ranting.
Why are you ranting when we agree with you?
We do.
Lee.
I wasn't ranting, dear. You know when if you want me to have a rant, I'll have a rant.
But we were agreeing with you. It's wrong.
What's wrong?
Phone hacking.
Phone hacking's wrong. I never said it was right. What I'm saying is that there are so many commercial companies that have been doing exactly the same thing. And what I can't understand is why newspapers were pilloried for it when these other companies thought they were going to get away with it.
Because it's an easy fish.
The police probably because they hacked famous people or some stupid reason.
Like it's still wrong. Anyway, moving along, boys and girls, as we do, Lloyds Banking Group has returned to profit with announcements of 2.1 billion pounds in the 6 months to the end of June, prompting news that the shares that are currently owned by people like Lee, well, not really, because they're government controlled, but basically some of the money that was lent by the government to bail the bank out, they're talking of shares going back on the market as soon as 7 days' time, believe it or not. So it could be time for Lee to get his money back, but he never spent it in the first place, so he can't have it.
The Bentley
cost him a fortune.
It just amazes me that everybody's saying how wonderful this is, that Barclays have done such a wonderful thing.
No, Lee, it's Lloyd's, not Barclays.
Yeah.
No, you said...
So I made a mistake. Do you want me to have a rant about the fact I made a mistake? I can't pursue that point because I've got notes made on Barclays now.
Yeah, Wally.
Move on.
Just out of interest, which bank do you use in England?
Santander.
Why?
Because my savings account when I was a kid was with it and I couldn't be bothered to change.
That's true, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And are they all right?
That's
are
your
they nasty?
Fault, Eric.
Yeah, it's my fault. Are they good to you, nasty to you? Or?
They're fine. It's just a bank to me. I don't really care about the other things. I just use it to put my money in and take it back out.
And you don't care about the rest of it?
Not really.
There you go, you see.
Totally. Do you think it's sensible to have your money in a Spanish bank?
Well, at least it's getting a bit of sun to it, so...
Money's got an accent.
Oh, dear.
Her money sounds like Ricky Martin when she withdraws it from the ATM.
That's right. So anyway, they've made a profit, so with a bit of luck, it might actually come out of government control, whatever. A UK-wide well-being survey, which I laughed at when I saw this, has found small improvements in people's happiness over the year. I wonder why we paid for all this, my gosh. The proportion of people rating their life satisfaction as 7 or more out of 10 rose from 75.9% to 77%, according to the Office of National Statistics, which must have spent a fortune working that one out.
I know, it's 1%.
Yes, what is the happiest on Earth?
I don't know. Well, I know what it is.
We talked about this.
Happiness is...
We talked about this.
No, excuse me, I was going to sing a jingle there.
Oh, all right, then go on.
I was going to sing a jingle there for a minute, and you ruined
it. Moment passes by.
Yes. Happiness is... Radio Tetris International. Never mind.
The happiest country, as we have discussed previously, according to a list that was made by some dudes in Sweden or wherever, is Australia.
Do you feel honoured then?
Not particularly, because I'm pretty grumpy today. Yeah. But generally, I'm a cheerful
Lee,
Yeah.
What does 1.1% feel like in being more positive?
It's all right, actually. I quite enjoy being 1.1% positive in my life. Yeah. But going back to what you said, it's absolutely true. The Office for National Statistics, as far as I'm aware, it's a government organisation, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's an agency. Well, no. It's not the government. It's an agency of the government with a grant-funded chunk of money. Which,
so it's paid for by the government.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's still the government.
Yeah, but it has to stand, it's autonomous from the government.
That's so it stands alone, right? Like that 1%.
Yes.
just think about, how, as you said, how much this has cost. How much of our money has it gone on telling us we're happier by 1% when actually everybody in Britain knows we are miserable and miserable as sin because of the bloody government?
Stop swearing.
That was my first swear. And as everybody else does it, I don't see why I can't.
Right.
The money that it's cost to do this, that has now negated that 1.1% because everybody's grumpy that they took the money.
Yeah, what they should have done is... No, you're right, Rach.
It's made redundant.
Yes. So what they should have done is not do the survey, get a big barrel of beer, stick it in four or five barrels in four or five cities in the UK, get everybody Brahms and Liszt, and then they would have been happy.
That was a use for a swear word, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, the British are apparently happier than the French. Not difficult. The Germans and the Italians. But they're not happier than the Slovaks, because we like Slovakia, don't we, crew?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we like Slovakia a lot, crew?
Lovely.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I've never been there, and I think it's great.
Yeah, is it relaxing?
Yeah, it's really nice over here. The weather's been amazing.
All right, there you go. See, so you're in... Would it be happy to say we've given you a small improvement in your life for the week you've been here?
I'm at least 1.1% happier.
He's 1.1% happier. There you go, you see? Oh, perfect. The crew are happier. We now move on. If you don't like the rest of the programme, you can complain to this week's producer. The guest producer is none other than Caroline Wiltshire. And I am slightly kaflummoxed here a bit because we start off with the Qantas passengers who were apparently having a mass vomit on a flight.
Well, the food isn't great, I've got to tell you. But the food's pretty average. But they didn't get sick on the Qantas flight. They actually caught the bug in Brazil whilst in Santiago, whilst they were, you know, trying to get their hands on the Pope. So, you know, never eat a kebab from a wheelie bin out of a, you know, in Brazil, folks. That's really the lesson. And there weren't enough sick bags. On the plane because they had to move the vomiters, the upchuckers, they had to move them to the rear fast access to the toilet. Although if there's 26 people and two toilets, that might have been interesting.
Yeah, that just doesn't equate, does it?
No. That's not 1.1% happier.
The Boeing 747 with more than 300 people aboard was met by ambulance and paramedics when it landed in Sydney. Well, at least it didn't need any foam underneath it.
I know, but why were they all chucking up down the... Those toilets are terrible. If you got your head down one of them and somebody flushes it, your head's gone.
Yeah, exactly, down out the bottom of the plane.
Why aren't they all throwing up in the throwing up bags?
They ran out of bags.
There was too much vomit. There was way too much vomit for a Boeing 747 to handle. Plus, I think I want the extra weight. They may have charged them from extra baggage. You know, Qantas is a bit like that.
Good point.
Yeah, very good point. But apparently nobody was seriously hurt, and the passengers were well enough to leave.
How are they going to get hurt? They're only throwing up. What are they throwing up at each other?
They could
projectile vomit.
They can dehydrate your nana.
That's not that good. They weren't eating nanas. That makes it even worse.
of other bags full. It's a bit like a sandbag. If you sort of wield it at somebody, it's...
Yeah, it could hurt.
Yeah, I'm getting into a weird area. I think I'll be quiet.
Anyway,
you threw a sandbag at somebody while they were throwing up. You deserve chucking off the plane.
Passengers well enough to leave. They were escorted through the airport with minimal exposure to other passengers, which is probably a good thing.
Minimal exposure? Why?
Well, because otherwise other people would get the bug, you loony.
It turned out to be food poisoning, so they wouldn't have caught anything.
Right, so
unless they ate food.
Right, okay, we've got 2 minutes for the last story of part one on this week's postcard from Pop Brad. Yesterday, going up a mountain, I was nagged going, can we go and see the bears? Can we? No, bears are like 8 foot tall, grumpy, miserable, horrible things, and they try and kill you. A brazen bear has been caught on camera doing a takeaway, its own version of takeaway, by getting hold of a wheelie bin and wheeling it off into the forest. And then...
then not just your average bear.
Yeah, boo-boo. And then it comes back for seconds. The next night, takes another wheelie bin. I thought that was wonderful.
I know, but I did get to see a bear, though.
Yeah, you would have seen the bear, yeah?
I know, but I still haven't seen one, so I can't really comment on the story. Because you haven't given me a bear.
I've never seen a bear in Slovakia, but I have actually seen the wolves. That's
have you?
Scary.
Oh, see, can't you take me to see the wolves instead?
No.
Take her to see the wolf.
No. So anyway, what happens is, and actually Slovakia is probably, we were talking to a guy on a train yesterday who goes bear watching. Remember the Swedish man? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he goes bear watching as I was coming down from the top of the mountain after a day walking.
Well done.
Yeah, he'll be dead soon.
Yeah. God. No, they were very nice to me. They said, you can now have a glass of alcohol to take the pain away. A glass, not a massage, a spa, not sitting something wonderful, a drink. Marvellous.
Why, what happened to you?
Well, I've been walking all morning.
Oh, right. So, to take the pain away, I understand, because you actually moved your lightsome little body.
Listen, you. Not only did they offer to get me a little drink, but then I had to pay for it.
Once you had the drink, you were still hurting, but you didn't care.
I see. Right. And then to make matters worse,
altitude sickness as well, because you stood up.
Well, no, you know what I'm like with heights, Lee. I'm the world's worst.
He is, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. He hates my height because I'm 6'5" and he's 4'3".
Yeah. I mean, even a chair is difficult. Climbing a step, climbing on a stepladder is really unnerving. So they take me up in a ruddy cable car.
Oh, forget that. I would have vomited. I would have gone Boeing 747 on that thing.
But I have to say, if you want to go up the mountains, it is absolutely glorious when you get up there, and you're literally sort of like a couple of hundred feet from the peak, and it is Tatranski Lomnitska is where we went to. It's beautiful, and it's just stunning up there, isn't it, guys?
It is, but we didn't go to the very top.
We'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. That was the end of part one, as it goes.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.